Today, we rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the new life we receive through him. Because he shed his blood, died on the cross, and rose again, we can know our Redeemer fully. Jesus paid the price for our sins, and it is our great joy to know him personally as our Savior. I'm Mike Salem. It is a pleasure each week to introduce one of my dad's timeless messages. Dad had a deep passion for sharing the saving grace of Jesus Christ and faithfully proclaiming God's word through his sermons. We pray that today's Easter message, Christ is risen, now what, will encourage your heart.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And the first thing I want to say is hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is Easter Sunday. And this is the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. And it's the high point of the Christian year. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. And St. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15, where he writes, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own image and order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that he shall be destroyed is death." And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for Easter Sunday. We thank you that is that he went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price of our sins. He conquered death. And the sting of death is sin. And now when we die, we go through all this end of the world. And we enter into heaven. And we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is not there anymore. It's just a shadow, and we just whisk through it to your presence. So we thank you for Easter Sunday, and we pray that this living Christ might live in everybody's heart and soul. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb's going to sing for us at the foot of the cross, and thank you, Barb.
They were watching from a distance, and they could not take their eyes from you. You were bleeding, they were weeping. Faithful sisters, they had followed you. They did not understand, they could not see. They were mourning their loss. As the sky turned black and the earth turned red at the foot of the cross, he was standing near your mother. They were so close, they could hear him sighing. All around them, angry voices pierced the darkness, and you were dying, but they would not leave. They lingered there, no matter the cost. They were staying, they were praying at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, may I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down for me at the foot of the cross. Now I'm standing in your your presence, and I cannot take my eyes from you. You have risen, I'm forgiven. Precious Savior, oh, I worship you. No, I'm not looking back. I've heard your voice, and I'm staying here. I've made my choice, for now it's real. Now I kneel at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down for me at the foot of the cross. Keep me near the cross, near the cross. May I never stray so far that I cannot see what flowed down for me at the foot of the cross.
Thank you, Barb. God bless you. And that's the old rugged cross in which Christ died. And that's the symbol of Christianity. They could have picked a lot of different things for the symbol of Christianity, but they picked the cross, and it's an empty cross. Jesus died on that cross. He was buried, and the third day he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and then he was raised from the grave. And he lives forever. And St. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's Easter's message. The cross is empty. The price is paid. Jesus Christ lives. Hallelujah. Just great. Well, our letters, our wonderful letters, we just keep getting them all the time. And I'm sharing them. And we get letters that say they like to hear the letters. And so we'll just share some of them with you today. Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this person writes, Be thou encouraged, for your anointing has broken the bonds of Satan, has caused others to overcome, be healed, and become strong in Jesus. P.S. Not any evil can stand, because thou art holy. And that's just Jesus conquered death, didn't he? And he broke the bonds of Satan. And so we're told in 1 John 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan is in the world. He's the god of this age, the god of this world. But Jesus Christ is greater than Satan. And then James tells us something that's kind of interesting. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's a big coward, but the only thing he's afraid of is Jesus. If you go out to fight the devil in your own strength, you're going to come back with a bloody nose, Buster. You have to have Jesus, only Jesus, that wonderful Savior. Here's a beautiful letter from Wichita, Kansas. And this is a man writing, his wife has died, and he's writing. He says, my wife, for 61 years, about 10 years ago, she had a stroke. She couldn't sit in church. We found you on TV. We've had you on for the last 10 years. She passed away on November 30th, 2018. She's with the Lord now, and I'm just waiting for my time. With all her sins behind her, and I know all of mine are behind me, I pray for you and your crew. Thank you for your prayers. I'm thankful for the memories of my wife in Christ. And isn't this a beautiful letter? And she says, and for one thing, for 10 years, they've been worshiping with us. And you know, your gifts and your prayers made that all possible. So thank you all. And he says something in a nice way. He says, with her sins behind her And I know all of mine are behind me. And that's exactly right. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 8, verse 12, says, the sins and iniquities will I remember no more. They're all washed away. They're all taken away. They're all behind us. Don't look back. They're all gone. And the psalmist puts it like this in Psalm 103 and verse 12, writes, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. And so that's so beautiful. That's the cross. That's the resurrected Christ who paid for our sins, and he was justified. That was approved by God when he raised him from the grave. Benson, Minnesota, please send me a copy of the DVD, Heart of a Shepherd. I would like to use it at my Gideon Jail Ministry. And that's a perfect place to use it because it's filled with the Word of God, and it tells how to come to Jesus. And maybe you've got a friend and you'd like to witness to them, but it's kind of hard sometimes. Just invite them over and play this for them, and the way of salvation will be presented so clearly that little children can accept Jesus. It's a wonderful one. It's a Heart of a Shepherd. We send it out on a free will offering basis, 1 hour film. Here's a nice letter from Huntsville, Alabama. Listen to this man. He writes, it says, thank you for reading John 1, 11 and 12 often. Well, John 1, 11 and 12 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, them gave he power to become the children of God, even as those that believe on his name. And so he says, thank you for reading those verses. And then he goes on, and he says, these verses have special meaning to me. While in the army during the Korean War, a chaplain read those verses when he came to our area to lead a service. That afternoon, the Holy Spirit used them to show me my sins and how to receive Jesus as my Savior. Please keep reading those verses. After I was released from active duty, I began to pastor churches, serving for 50 years till I was 75. For the last 15 years, I've tried to minister to pastors and help churches. In a short time, I'll be 90. And serving as he gives me strength. That's it, brother. God bless you, dear brother. Never stop. If you're called to the ministry and if you can breathe, preach, witness, teach, talk about Jesus. That's our calling. Jesus didn't call us for 20 years of service. He called us for a life of service. Don't forget it. Then let me see. What do we got here? Copalis Beach, Washington. I started watching about a month ago, and you really helped me find my way back to Jesus. Help me find my way back to Jesus. I think all the time about the prodigal son and how he took his inheritance and he went and squandered it all. And then when he was out and down and out, he remembered his dad and he came back. And what did the Bible says in Luke 15, verse 20? And when he was a great way off, his father saw him. Dad's been sitting on the porch looking for that boy to come. And maybe had his spy glasses. And he looked. And away off yonder, he sees his coming. When he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion on him, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. This is the boy that squandered. This is the life and lived a terrible life. But he repented, and he came back to the father. And if you drifted away from the Lord Jesus Christ, you drifted away from God, you come back and he'll always receive you. You repent, you turn from the old wicked ways, come back to Jesus. He'll take you back every time. The Father put his arms around you, gives you a hug. Even though you may smell like a pig pen, he took him right back. Here's the mouth of Wilson, Virginia. Oh, I like this letter too. I just love these letters. We read every one of them, and some of them are read a couple of times. And here it says, my husband and I retired to our mountain home 12 years ago after being a pastor for 27 and a half years. We are 76 now and just think you are old enough to be our father. Oh, my goodness sakes. I about fell off my chair when it says, 76 years old, and I'm hoping to be her dad. And Lord have mercy. And then she says, my husband doesn't pastor, but he preaches for other pastors occasionally, and he does funerals and weddings. God bless you. Keep on preaching the truth of God's word. And I thought, oh, boy, here he he's a, I have to admire him. He'd be better to stay in the ministry, stay in the church, because here, what is he doing? He's at funerals, that's fine, and weddings. Weddings. They're the worst things on earth. I've had them for all these years, 75 years, and I don't do them anymore. I just says, I am too old for that. That I can't handle it. But they have a wedding. What do? They have the wedding rehearsal, and grandmother's telling something, grandma's telling something, and the aunts are telling something, and the ushers are telling something. Everybody's telling something except the groom. And he's kind of just, he's in a haze. He's standing, he doesn't care what they do. They just want to get done, see? And so this, I admire this fella. If he's still doing weddings, he sure hasn't retired, I'm going to tell you. Power to you, brother. Here's Alba, Michigan. Last Sunday when you read the letters, you had a brother that wrote in that he felt like you were right there talking just to him. I also feel that and always have. I thank God for you and the Christian Worship Hour. You have changed my life forever. God bless you. And so here he's telling something that I get over and over and over. I just feel like you are preaching to me, just to me. And I don't even know where you are. I don't even know what your problem is. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know anything about you. But you know somebody does. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit knows just all about us. Maybe you're sorrowing, you're sorrowful. Maybe you're sad. Maybe you're happy. Maybe you sinned last night, not very good, and you're feeling bad about it. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit knows it's tailor-made. And so I preach the Bible, and the Holy Spirit takes it all over the world. You know, by shortwave radio, we reach 95% of the world's population. That means we reach the persecuted church, and they worship with us. And we pray for them every month, every week. We pray for them, and we love them, and we're encouraged because they're so strong in the Lord. And so, yes, the Holy Spirit. And that's why when I'm preaching, I know that the Holy Spirit's talking to you, and He's saying, "I want to come into your life. Jesus wants to come into your life. He's knocking at your heart's door, and you need to open your heart to the door to the Lord." And ask him to come in. He says, and if you ask to open the door, I will come in. I'll come into your life. I want to come into your life. And yes, but my sins, I got to clean my sins up first. Don't clean your sins up first at all. Come just the way you are. Jesus will help you clean up those sins. And like one old pastor says, God doesn't clean his fish until he catches them. And when he catches you, then he'll start cleaning and helping you be what you want to be and be happy about it. Here's Albany, New York, and Albany, California. Thank you for the Christian Worship Hour. It's the highlight of my week and helps me, keeps me close to Jesus. And that's what happens when we worship the Lord and we have the Word of God and we're teaching the Word of God. It cleanses us. And in the Bible, in Ephesians, it says, the washing of water by the Word. That is, the Holy Spirit washes our soul and keeps us clean. And that's why we need to read it and memorize it and talk about it and share it. See, it cleanses us. We went to seminary, and they says, let's have a soul bath. And then they have different ones give verses, you know, whoever among the young people. They give a verse. He said, that's a soul bath. That's exactly what it is. One more. Papillion, Nebraska. Said, I have sent the DVDs to some of my family who are in Scotland. I'm praying that they will be saved. Thank you. Keep on preaching the word of God. Love you with the Jesus Christ love. Your sister in Christ Jesus. And so here's them. They're going to write and send it to Scotland. And I just checked in the last 6 weeks or 2 months, 6 weeks. And it says, I wrote down, we sent the heart of a shepherd to the Philippines, to Malaysia, to England, to Norway, and now to Scotland. And so all over the world, the Word of God goes forth and preaches through the Word of God. And so we need to have you pray for this ministry, and we need to have you help us, support us in the work, because the only source of income we have is God's people. We're not underwritten by any church, denomination, or organization. It's just God's people all over the world. And so you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. And if you want to, you can send us a gift over the internet. And I don't know how they do it, but they do it. And you just get ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place that says donate. And then you donate any part of the world, and we'll get it in a U.S. currency, and we'll pay our bills. And that's the way we carry on. And I know what you're thinking right away. Well, I'd like to send him a gift, but I don't know him. He's probably going to get a fancy car. He might even get a jet. You know, I'm 97 years old. I'm about to get a jet. And so I couldn't take a trip if I wanted to. I stay in the city limits all the time. But we are a member of an organization. It's an international organization, and it's called the International Council for Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and we're all on the level. We receipt every penny we get. We spend every penny the way the budget calls for it, and it's all on the level. And now here's something else we have that's really, really people like, and that is a little Bible study. Every month we'll send a Bible study. And this month it's about, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. And so you just write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, and just say you'd like the new song. If you'd like to have this film it's an evangelical film, and you can give it to friends or have them come in and watch it, and they'll get the message, the wonderful message of God. But we need to hear from you, and we need to have you pray. And so you just do that. And so now what we're going to do, Jan's going to play, I'm going to pray, and then you just pay. And just do this. Just say, Dear Lord, is this something, a ministry that you want me to support? It's your money, tithe money. It's your money, Lord. Where should I help these people? And then if he says yes, if he says no, then you give it somewhere else. If he says yes, then you say, now how much should I send, Lord? See, just make it that personal. For over 40 years, that's the way we lived, depending on God and his people. So now I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who've supported us over those years and all who stand with us right now to carry on this work. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28 in the first 10 verses. And this is after the crucifixion. Jesus has been buried. He's been in the tomb. He really wasn't. His spirit and soul was in the heart of the earth. His body was in Joseph's tomb. It was out of a hewn rock. Joseph of Arimathea had a new tomb for himself, and he let Jesus use, put the body of Jesus in that tomb, and then they put a huge rock over the face of it. So then we read in Matthew 28, beginning with the first verse, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Beautiful, beautiful scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, we thrill when we read this story. Jesus in the tomb, and he's raised from the dead by his own power and might, in God Almighty's power. And he's came from that tomb, and he lives forever, and he's never going to die again. Evil men put their hands on Jesus. Evil men drove the spikes and drove the spear. But once he's raised from the dead, evil men will never touch his body again. Thank you for the Savior. And dear Lord, this wonderful Easter, this Easter Sunday, we pray that people everywhere will open their heart to Jesus. Maybe they don't have a personal experience with the Lord. Maybe they've never asked him into their heart. And yet you told us, Lord, you have to be born again. And the only way to be born again is to come to you. And when we ask you to come into our heart, you'll come into our heart. And you make us new. You give us a new spirit. And you save our soul. And we'll spend eternity with you. So this very preaching of the word, Lord, may multitudes open their heart to you. And then, Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. And this week we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Mali. And we know it's a little country, Lord, and not many Christians there. And they're being persecuted. And maybe they're worshiping with us right now. Maybe they got that shortwave radio tucked away somewhere, and they're listening to this service. And help them to know that we are all over the world. We're praying for them. And they're a great encouragement to us. And then we're going to see them in heaven and talk to them personally. So this is your service, Lord. Use it to honor Jesus. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And before I bring a message today, faithful Hank is going to sing Amazing Grace. And God bless you, Hank.
Thank you, Pastor.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace
Thank you, Hank. God bless you. Amazing grace. Do you want to know something? Of all the religions in the world, there's only one religion, one faith that has grace, and that's Christianity. And grace simply means unmerited favor. He favored us, he blessed us, and he helped us, but we didn't deserve it. And here it is. That's Easter Sunday sermon. He came to the cross, he took our sins and went to the cross and paid for our sins in his own flesh, in his own body on the tree, with his own blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And that's what Jesus did. And he was dead in the grave 3 days and three nights. And then that first Easter Sunday morning, the angel of God spoke to the women and said, "He is not here. He has risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Mark 16:6. Always remember, the resurrection of Jesus is all solid, definite, historical fact. The New Testament testifies that the body of Jesus was taken from the cross and placed in a tomb. The tomb belonged to a man called Joseph of Arimathea. History declares that that following Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. And everyone admits this. Christian, unbeliever, disciple, scoffer, Jew, Gentile, conservative, modernist, liberal, they have to admit this. On Easter Sunday morning, the tomb was empty. That's history. I remind you, this is all in the realm of history. Wilbur M. Smith, a great Bible scholar, puts it like this. He says, "The reality of the resurrection of Christ is something we may judge as we do any other historical event. The criteria for determining what Caesar did at Gaul, or how the Goths sacked Rome, or whatever happened at Waterloo, is the same criteria by which we determine what happened on that first Easter Sunday. so you don't have to take back seat to anyone when it comes to the fact of the resurrection of our Lord. It's a historical fact that the tomb was empty. There are many theories on how it became empty, but every one of those collapsed under careful study. And so the fact remains that Jesus Christ is risen. Also remember that the risen Christ appeared to many after the resurrection. We have at least 10 different occasions on which the risen Christ appeared. 1, he appeared to certain women as they returned from the sepulcher after having seen the angel who told them Christ had risen. 2, he to Mary Magdalene at the sepulcher, probably upon her second visit to that tomb that same morning. Or 3, we have the Apostle Peter before the evening of the day of the resurrection. But under circumstances of which we have no details, he appeared to Peter and talked with Peter. 4, to the two disciples, Cleopas and another, on the way to Emmaus on the afternoon of Easter, he appeared. 5, to the 10 apostles, Thomas being absent, together with others whose names are not given, assembled together on the evening of Easter day at their evening meal. 6, 1 week later to all the 11 apostles, probably the same place as the preceding appearance. 7, to several of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee while they were fishing, the exact time undesignated. 8, the apostles and above 500 brethren at once, 500 brethren at once on an appointed mountain in Galilee. 9, to James, under circumstances of which we have no information. And 10, to the apostles of Jerusalem, immediately before the ascension on the Mount of Olives. There are many other evidences of the resurrection of the Lord. We have the testimony of Jesus Christ himself. We have the testimony of the angels. We have the testimony of the apostles. We have the appearances of Christ. We have the change in the disciples so they will fear no man. We have the conversion of Paul, of Saul of Tarsus. We have the Lord's Day. We observe the Lord's Day, the institution of the church, and the empty tomb. All of these things over and over and over teach us that this Jesus Christ is a fact of history. And when you believe that, you believe as did many great men of every age. It isn't something we just believe now in this 20th or 21st century. But in every age, there have been those people, strong men, famous men, who believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of the outstanding thinkers of every age have boldly confessed about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and made no bones about it. The greatest men in the first century talks about this. One of the greatest men in the fourth century was St. Augustine. He never wearied of talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man who recognized as probably the greatest intellect of modern times, Sir Isaac Newton, believed in the resurrection of Christ. Do you realize that the men who laid the foundation for the famous American colleges and universities all believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the founders of these colleges? This can be seen from a superficial reading, just a casual reading. You can see every one of these men believed in the physical, literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who were they? Well, a man named Mather, the president of Harvard. Timothy Dwight, president of Yale. These men who believe openly of the resurrection of Christ. I don't know if the presidents do today, but in these men who they founded these colleges, these institutions. Mather of Harvard, Timothy Dwight, the president of Yale, Nathan Lord, president of Dartmouth, Edward Hitchcock, president of Amherst, Mark Hopkins, president of Williams College, John Witherspoon, president of Princeton, and on and on. These men believed in the literal, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. So you never need to be ashamed of your belief when you talk up and say, my Jesus died on the cross, but he was raised from the dead, literally raised. Don't back off from it a bit, because history stands behind it. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so because of the resurrection, let me tell you the things that we have. First of all, because of the resurrection, we have a Savior. The death and resurrection of Jesus cannot be separated. They make the gospel. Paul tells us what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15 and the four verses. And this is what he says. This is the gospel. This is the gospel by which you are saved. That Jesus Christ died for our sins. That he was buried. That he rose again the third day. That's the gospel. In just those brief words, Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the shedding of his blood washes away our sins. A dead Jew could not be our Savior. A living Christ can be our Savior. An unemptied tomb would mean that Christ would be lost in a lost world, but an empty tomb means he is risen and he lives. Abraham, the father of Judaism, died somewhere around 1900 B.C. There was no resurrection claim for Abraham, and his body is now kept at a place in the Middle East called Hebron. Only Jesus Christ our Lord, the founder of the Christian faith, the embodiment of the Christian faith, has been raised from the dead. We don't worship a dead founder. We worship a living Christ, and he is our Savior. And then we have justification. Romans 4, verse 28 talks about that. And it says, who was delivered for our offenses, our sins, our offenses, and was raised for our justification. Raised again, because when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, that is, we say, was that acceptable to God? Does that pay for the sins of the world? But when Jesus is raised from the dead, it means that Jesus, God in heaven, the Father, saying, it's paid in full. It's all settled. The sins of the world are paid for. And if you come for salvation, you can have it. And if you don't come for salvation, you'll find yourself in the pit of hell. That's all there is to it. That's the preaching. That's what Jesus taught us. You have to have Jesus. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. Or John 5:24. And it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, you've heard it now, and believeth on him that sent me, you have to believe, has everlasting life. The moment you believe and receive Jesus, turning from your sins the best you can, you take Jesus, you have everlasting life, and Jesus isn't done yet. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. You won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. Oh, I love to preach that. Thou glorious gospel. And you, dear friends, have to have Christ. You have to have that time when you say, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I ask you to please come into my heart, and I'll serve you the best I can. Jesus taught repentance, and repentance means a change of thought, a change of ideas, and you're leaving the old ways, and you're walking with Jesus in his ways. That's what we have. And so, friend of mine, you have to receive Jesus Christ. You have to be justified before God Almighty. And if you're going to stand before God, you can't stand in your sins, because you're going to go into a place of torment. And so this wonderful Jesus Christ, And when you come to this wonderful Savior, he will accept everyone. And that's what I did when I was 10 years old. I made that prayer and I said, "Dear Jesus," and I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I didn't know anything about the new birth. All I knew was what my mother taught me, that Jesus was the Savior and he was loving and he was kind and he was so good. Oh, my mother, that's all my earliest recollections in my life was that my mother read a Bible story every night and said a prayer and gave us a kiss. And we had two brothers, and we all trust, three of us, came to know Jesus and walked with the Lord. Now we're all three in our 90s, but we have the same faith that our mother gave us. And when I heard that invitation, I prayed and asked Jesus to come, and he washed away my sins. And all those years, 88 years ago, oh, you need to have Jesus. And so you have the justification. And then you have something more. You have hope. All of us have to have hope of one sort or another. When a person loses hope, they lose life. They cease to live. They begin to die. Physical life may be present, but that inner part of them is all dead and decayed and gone. Peter knew what that was like. Peter heard that Jesus was the hope, that Jesus was the Messiah. That's what he lived for. And then he saw Jesus, the Messiah, die on the cross, and he was dead, and he lost all of his hope. He was going to follow Jesus, and Jesus was going to have the government on his shoulders, and he was going to rule the whole world. That's what Isaiah said. And that'll happen in good time when God is ready. But he saw Jesus die, and you know what Peter said? "I go a-fishing." What does he mean? Well, he was a fisherman by profession. And Jesus came by mending their nets. And he said, "Come, follow me. I'm the Messiah. Come, follow me." And they left their profession. They left their farm or their business or whatever you want to call it. And they went with Jesus. And that's the way they walked with Jesus. And then lo and behold, Jesus dies on the cross and he's dead. And Peter now believes. He has no hope, and he goes back to the old way of living, the way he used to go. He doesn't have hope. But then Peter met the Lord again, and he came with the Lord Jesus Christ, and his faith burned anew. And this is what he writes in 1 Peter 1, 3, verses 3 to 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope." And that living hope, he says, is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed in the last time. So now because of the resurrection, we have hope. And then we have preservation also. He holds us in his hand. We are secure in Christ. Remember what he says in John 10, verses 27, 29? Jesus says, "My sheep," that is the people that trust in him. That's the sheep. The others are the goats. And there's going to be a dividing day sometime. And to become a sheep of God, you have to go have Jesus. And when you're born again, you become his sheep, and he's our shepherd, and we're in his flock. And so he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And listen to this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." When Jesus Christ gives us eternal life, it is eternal life. We have these people getting saved and lost and saved and lost, and they don't know where they're at or who they're at. Jesus said, "Listen, when you accept me, you don't hang on to me. I hold you in my hand, and God Almighty holds, or my Father holds me in the other hand. And you can never be lost, and you'll never be lost. No matter what people say, don't let anybody take that away from you." And he then becomes our great high priest. And this wonderful Lord is our high priest. He's our Savior. And then he ascended into heaven. And right now he's at the throne of God. This is what he says, Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he's able to save unto them, unto othermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he represents us in heaven as a great high priest, praying for us and helping us and blessing us, and we can never be lost. We can never be stolen. Eternal life is safe in Christ's keeping. And I talked to a man not too long ago, and he talked to me, and he says, my wife died last night. And she says, I held her hand, and I says, hold on to Jesus, hold on to Jesus. And I didn't say anything to him, but he didn't need to say that. It's not her holding on to Jesus. Jesus holding on to her, and she's safe, see. Oh, I love to preach that because, and in this scripture it says, he saves us unto the uttermost. That's the uttermost of sin, but that's not what it means here. He saves us, it doesn't matter what your sin is. He saves us unto the uttermost, but this means the uttermost of time. He saves us forever and forever. He will never forsake us. He will never let us down. And that's what Paul talks about in Romans 8:34. He says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ can keep you. He will keep you. Nobody can ever separate you. There's no power that can take us away from the Lord. And so we lean on this wonderful Jesus. And one final thought I want to give. Now we're going to have resurrection. Remember what Jesus told Mary and Martha? He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth in me shall never die. That doesn't mean physically. We're all going to die physically unless the Lord comes. But it means die spiritually, the spirit and soul in hell, see. And he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Because I live, ye shall live also. And so it means when we accept Jesus, we're going to die, and we're going to have that physical death, but that spirit and soul that goes to heaven or hell, that's going to be all with the Lord if we have the Lord. You have to have Jesus. And I'm wondering today, dear friends, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you have to have, Jesus says, as many as received him. You have to receive him. It says in the scripture, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not, that's what Jesus said. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. It's Jesus, all Jesus. And it's all Jesus because he's the way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. The way to heaven is through a person, Jesus. So you could pray right now. Oh, I pray, please pray. Just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you, Lord, come into my heart, take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you'll make that prayer, you'll have everlasting life. And you write to us, we'll send you some literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want to have the new song, our little Bible study, you tell us, just say new song. If you want to have the film about this of a good shepherd, then you just send us a gift if you can. If you don't have any money, just write to us. We'll send it free. Somebody will help us. We'll get by. And then send a gift to help us. Pray for us and send us a gift. Send it to the Christian Worship Hour. Now it's on the screen, but our people, our dear, wonderful friends on shortwave don't have a screen. They're hidden away somewhere with a little shortwave radio. Box 2, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. and you pray, and now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Lord, I thank you for the multitudes that are coming into the kingdom, that are coming to Jesus right now. Lord, I pray for those on beds of sickness today. I pray for those who have lost loved ones, and they're mourning, and they're lonely, and they're sad. Lord, I pray for the young people, and with all of the temptations they have, and they're so fierce, and I just pray that you'll help those young people as they think about life to know that they need Jesus, and he'll guide them in their life. He'll help them pick out their mate, and he'll help them pick out their profession. And the children, the little children, they're praying. Oh, God, just bless them and watch over them and keep them and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to thank you for this time, this Easter Sunday. Wouldn't it be something on Easter Sunday you were born again? If you ask Jesus into your heart, you're born again. You have the new birth. You have the second birth. You can call a lot of different things, but your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll have life forever. And don't forget this, God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. We have people who work on this all the time, most all of them by volunteers, because we love you, and God knows I love you. And I just wish I could have you understand that I want to see you in heaven, but I can't see you unless you have Jesus. Got to have Jesus. The only door, the only way is Jesus. Come to him if you haven't, and I'll see you in heaven. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.